Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 29. How are you on this Friday night, Liv? It's 4 minutes past eight.
I know, this is probably the wildest episode you're going to listen to. I think it sounds like I'm probably phoning in on a late night talk show on a drive home.
It does a bit.
But I'm good. I'm quite tired. I'm not going to lie. I'm ready for bed.
I think if both of us stay awake during this podcast recording, it'll be a miracle.
I know. I mean, when I spoke to you earlier, I did ask why you were so tired. And do you want to care to elaborate and let the listeners know why you're so tired at 8 o'clock on a Friday night?
I am shattered. My eyelids are stinging when I close them and I can't stop yawning because I was
She was out on the tiles.
I wasn't.
All night I was in up, Lincoln.
I wasn't. I was up till 12:30. I can't even say it. Browsing swimwear online.
That's it. That's it. There was no intervals for any other bad behaviour.
I'm shattered.
When you told me that, she was like, I'm so tired. I had a really late one last night. And I was like, oh my God, are you all right? Were you up all night? What happened? Were you out partying, drinking? I don't know, drugs? No, swimwear, cozzies.
I know. I'm pretty pathetic. But in my defence, I have been ill on top of ill.
Oh, I know. You've been through the wars this week.
We last saw each other a week last Thursday, or basically last Thursday. I get confused when I say things like that. And June had been sick just before I'd left for London. And then I got a text. She'd been sick, I think, once more. Sorry if nobody wants to talk about bodily fluids, but this story is heavy on the bodily fluids. So I went home on the Thursday night. Friday night, she couldn't go to nursery. Saturday, she was on and off. But then Sunday, it got me. Both ends. It was just horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous. So that was me all of Sunday evening into Monday. Monday, I couldn't do anything. Tuesday, I started to feel a bit better. We took June to the doctors because she had other things. She got an ear infection and things. So she's now on antibiotics. I've stopped being sick. But then my mum, who was looking after us, she went down. She got it.
Oh.
And then my dad, who was also around here, he got it.
No, are they out of it now?
No, they're fine. They only got one end, the sick end. And and theirs was quite short, but the whole family, because Jack's away, the whole family is just feeling a little bit tired.
Oh, you poor things.
But yeah, we all had designated sick bowls.
Oh.
It was just awful. It was awful. I should have gone to bed earlier last night, but in my defence.
Were you not in bed browsing?
Oh yeah, I was in bed browsing. Sorry, I was in bed. I should have gone to sleep earlier.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, as if you were not in bed browsing.
Absolutely. Why are you tired? What have you been doing?
Well, this is going to sound like it should be a wild story, and then it's going to come flat down. I've been in Ibiza this week.
Is it all those closing parties? Were they making you tired?
The thought of them was making me tired.
Did you go to any parties?
No. No. I went to none. I didn't go to any parties. I actually went out there with my mum, my dad, my brother and Joe. My great aunt lives out there, so that was wonderful. We hung out with her. She's lived out there for about 35 years, so she's a true resident. But it was absolutely lovely. I mean, the weather, I was a bit worried about it. Going out somewhere in October, I was a bit like, ooh, thought we were playing with fire a little bit.
Quite dramatic.
Okay, I wasn't quite playing with fire. I was a bit apprehensive as to how the weather would go. But it was really nice. We had one kind of grey day, which we used very wisely and spent a lot watching TV, which, although felt a bit wasteful being in a lovely country, felt like a real holiday day. But oh my god, I've never been bitten so much. I must be the juiciest human, because I am just, I've got about 11 bites.
Oh my goodness. Did anybody come up with a good solution, a good remedy?
So many. I had so many good suggestions, apart from, and obviously there was like antihistamines. There were certain things. There was an Avon, like, soothing body lotion. People said it's a great repellent. I was like, what, Avon?
Yeah, I've heard lots and lots of good things about this Avon repellent.
Just amazing. So many suggestions. So I need to implement those. But apart from that, I had a lovely time. Very restful. Towards the end of the week, I did get a little bit like, when you start worrying about work a little bit and feeling a bit behind, and that kind of started creeping in. And there were a couple of things, like I posted actually an Instagram story, because I feel like when you're on holiday, there is that pressure to document it and, you know, capture those candid holiday moments for people to see, even if you're not doing them.
And even if you are inside watching Jeremy Kyle.
Exactly. So we were at the beach on one day, and I've been actually reading Catherine Ormerod's Why Social Media Is Ruining Your Life.
How is it?
Really good, really meaty, like packed full of like research and quotes and stats. Really fascinating, really, really interesting. So I've really enjoyed reading that. There's lots of different chapters on loads of things, but I'm still quite early on in the book. You know what I'm like, I go on holiday, I take about 5 books with me, read half of one. There was one point where we went to the beach and I was having a lovely time, and I was like, oh Joe, can you just get a picture of me in my bikini and like a t-shirt looking really cool and all the rest of it. Bearing in mind, getting my period, lots of signs were like, nah, shouldn't be doing this. Did it. Felt really miserable, couldn't, spent ages trying to get a good angle, and I was like, why do we do this to ourselves?
Yeah, what are you doing? Just
stop and enjoy it. Like, it's so weird how we're like, we interrupt this fun beach service to take a stupid picture you're going to put online and feel miserable about, seeking validation. I'm like, why do we do it?
And what's Catherine's book got to say about that?
Well, I haven't actually got to the part on body image, but I imagine it's got a lot of things to say. But yeah, really, really enjoying it. So yeah, I've just been in Ibiza.
Well, I think that's a nice tie-in. So let's move on to shopping. So you bought a book?
Yep, so I bought Catherine's book, and I bought a couple of other books, which I haven't actually started yet. So I feel I'm going to hold off from recommending them.
Let's spell Catherine's name, because I know how to find her on Instagram, but if you can't spell her name, let me get it up. So it's Catherine with a K, and then it's Ormerod. And on Instagram, she is Catherine_Ormerod. While we're talking about books, Scarlett Curtis's book has come out this week called Feminists Don't Wear Pink.
Oh, yes.
And first of all, the cover's amazing. It's pink. But it's a collection of, what's the word for it? A collection
essays.
Of
essays.
Yeah. Wise words from wise women.
It is brilliant.
But she's had, I don't know, quite the day of it, hasn't she?
I saw this on, well, my dad told me, because we just landed from the plane, and my dad was like, did you see what's gone on in Topshop? And I am completely shocked. Completely shocked.
Well, yeah, you feel people. I sound like I've had a drink. I've not. I've had a cup of tea and I've got a glass of water.
So basically, Scarlett and Penguin had a pop-up shop in Topshop, Oxford Street, which was aiming to raise money and support the launch of the book and tie in with everything. And it was a really gorgeous space. And although I don't think we're totally sure what's gone on, it's basically been dismantled by Topshop, which is a really, really bizarre thing, because they are a brand that obviously their audience is young girls, and they sell a lot of, I suppose, merch that is like, I don't know, with lots of feminist slogans on it. And it just seems like a really strange, contradictory, I don't know, a bit of a distasteful move from them.
Yeah, so I'm on her stories, and Penguin Books did a Twitter thread, and said, for anyone hoping to visit the pop-up, after a huge amount of work on this groundbreaking partnership, we assembled our stand this morning and were raring to go. However, just 20 minutes later, it had been dismantled by Topshop. We're working on finding another place to hold our pop-up and the amazing products that support Girl Up. In the meantime, thank you for your support. The book aims to prove that the word feminist is accessible to everyone. Today's event suggests there is still, and then I don't know where the rest of the tweet is, but there's still some work to do. There we go. And then Scarlett said, not allowed to say much, but pretty shaken. Hashtag pink, not green. I think that's quite interesting. It might be something to do with Philip Green.
I think it is a very bad move on their part.
I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna respond. But Instagram's pretty angry today. As is Twitter. Oh, here we go. Her latest Instagram story. What makes me most sad and sickened is a man who is responsible for clothing an entire nation of teenage girls thinks it's too controversial to fight for their equality. And then she's quoted some quotes from her book. So definitely go and check out Scarlett's book, because I feel like today it needs everyone's support more than ever.
Yeah, she is one of the most intelligent, trailblazing women, I think, out there at the moment. She's doing so many good things, and she's so inspiring. I think she's such a brilliant role model. So definitely, definitely, if you need some good reading, check out that book as well.
What else have you been buying this week, Liv?
This week, I've been regretting not buying a jacket from Mango that I wish I'd bought. And it's, you know the one.
I know the one. It's the best shade of baby blue.
Oh, it's like a tealy baby blue, and it's got huge buttons. It's almost like a bomber style jacket with a cool collar. And my friend Lindsay of Ropes of Holland had it on. She looked amazing.
Oh, Lindsay was where I saw it.
What an influencer. But I was just obsessed with it. And I had it in my bag, and I was like, really, do I need it? Put it out of my bag, it's gone. And I haven't been to an IRL store to search it down yet, but I'm regretting it. I'm loving the colour combination of like a camel or like a brownie tan colour and a baby blue. And I've spoiled myself, Charlotte. So that's what I've not been buying.
That colour combination, sorry to interrupt, is so 60s. I also especially love a leopard print, like a large leopard print with that. And when I say baby blue, it's a specific shade of baby blue. Like you say, a tealy baby blue. It's such a colour combo.
Almost slightly green.
Mm.
Oh, it's dreamy. I found a note on my phone, actually, because when I went to Bordeaux earlier this summer, I went into this really cool little shop, and they had these cords styled with this blue jumper, and I made a note on my phone. I was like, that's a nice colour combination.
What did the note say?
It said, let me see if I can find it, camel cords, teal jumper with white Vans. Deep thoughts in my notes.
Absolutely love people's notes on their on their phone. I really want to tell you about my friend, but I feel like she might be cross with me, but I've started, so I'll finish. So I used to look through our notes because they just really make me laugh. And once I saw a shopping list, and it was like boots for work, 2-inch heel. What else did it have? Oh, it's really not that funny when I'm retelling it, but it just said talc ? And I was like, friend's name, what's talc ? And she was like, well, I was just thinking the other day, like, I didn't know whether to start getting into talc or not. I lost it. But yeah, it's not actually that funny when I retell it. But
no, it is funny.
Yeah, you'd have to know the person because she's just...
Yeah, who uses talc? I remember I used it when I was a baby, and I know old people use it, but is there anyone in between?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I feel like if anyone of an age around 30 were to use it, it would be us. And if we're not using
it... Well, my nana used to use it on me all the time when I was younger, but what a mess.
I know, it does go everywhere, doesn't it? Yeah, use it for when I dress up as an old lady. Well, I did one. I did once on Halloween. I needed more context around that.
Just when you went out on a Wednesday. If there are any Fringe of It listeners that are out there using talcum powder, please get in touch. I've got so many questions for you.
I can't believe this episode has taken this turn. Right. Every time I think we surprise ourselves.
Right. If you've not bought anything else this week, I'm gonna see. Okay, go on.
One more thing. So it was Lauren's t-shirt, a new merch launch this week. So Lauren of Girl vs. Cancer launched her second collection and it is cracking. She's done a collaboration with Poppy's Papercuts, who is an amazing, amazing kind of illustrator. She has all this beautiful like cutout work and she's incredible. And they've done an amazing collection of t-shirts together. And yeah, she launched this week. They look gorgeous. She got some new jumpers. I am mentioning it on here as well because the site was down for 12 hours or just around that, like around that time. So I think she lost a lot of traffic, which was a real, real shame. So if you want to go and check it out, they are incredible. And I think 25% of profits go to four of her partner charities as well, which is amazing. So yeah, I've been so excited about that as well.
And if anybody is wondering, I have to, because the amount of, for some reason, I feel like my followers think I am the official spokesperson on First Dates.
Oh, wow.
Which is absolutely, you know, a wonderful position to be in. But it is the same girl that was on First Dates, just in case, because I don't know if everybody makes that connection, just in case anybody, because on First Dates, they didn't actually mention her. Like Girl versus Cancer, the charity, which was a little bit frustrating. I feel like Channel 4 could have easily given her a bit of promo there. So,
oh, that's frustrating.
But yes, go and buy her t-shirts. They are awesome.
They are gorgeous, and she is a one-woman powerhouse and doing such an amazing job and raising some serious money and some serious awareness. So yeah,
go Lauren.
What have you been buying this week?
What have I been buying? Okay, this is what we started discussing last week and I think I stopped you because I have made my first purchase from Cezanne.
Da, 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 da.
And I am thrilled to bits with it. It came in the nicest box and it had my name on it, which you know because you're a Cezanne shopper anyway.
But their boxes. Oh, sorry, that was worth interrupting for.
No, it's fine. I feel like we interrupt each other all the time. I feel like we're getting worse, but anyway, let's just carry on. So Cezanne, they came on my radar last year. I'm late to so many parties. And I wanted to visit their apartment in Paris when we were there in November, but it's only open Saturday, Sunday. I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we were literally there for... No, it's not even open Sunday. Sorry, why am I arguing with myself? Basically, when I was in Paris, it was open on the Saturday. The queue was so big because we were staying just around the corner from it and I decided not to go. And then the rest of my trip, it was shut and I was really upset because I kind of wanted to touch their things and close in the flesh. I know, I'm sorry. Let me recover from that one. And and ever since, I've watched them on Instagram. I'm signed up to their emails because they don't just have the same collection available all the time. I like the way they do it. Everything's kind of like special and limited and they always count down to their launches. I just think it's really lovely. And I've pondered with the purchase here and there because it's not cheap, but it's all really well made. It's ethically made and it's not kind of fast fashion. It's just nice classic wardrobe pieces. Anyway, so I saw this blouse and it's got a really nice ruched. Sorry, went really kind of like Liz McDonald there. It's got a ruched neck and ruched cuffs, and I just thought it's broderie anglaise and it's white. It'd be a really nice layering piece for winter. And it arrived the other day, and it was just beautifully packaged. It was just, it was an experience from start to finish. I loved every single minute of my experience with Suzanne. So that's all I've got, a glowing review. So I got that, and then I went rummaging in that Cabbages and Roses sale again.
Oh, she didn't.
Well, it's now up to 70% off final markdowns. And I'd had my eye on these gingham dungarees, black and white, really large gingham. And I just couldn't hold it any longer. They were still there in my size, and they came, and I didn't dare try them on for a couple of days because I felt a bit naughty about buying them. I had them on today. They're amazing. I love them.
Oh, they are gorgeous. I did see on your stories and I was like, what are they? And then I was like, good decision.
Yeah, really good decision. I think I'm going to get a lot of wear out of them. So today I went out for lunch with my friends and I had my Suzanne blouse on, my Cabbages and Roses dungarees and my boots. And I wasn't being sick anymore. And I had some makeup on and I just felt really, really glam.
I bet you felt dead flash, didn't you?
I felt really flash. So that's what I've been buying. And then one thing that I feel I need to alert all Fringe of It listeners to, whilst I didn't purchase this, I got sent it and it was the most exciting delivery I've ever had. And that is, it was a box from Bando from Los Angeles. So exciting. So Bando, for those of you who don't know, it's a brand started by Jen Gotch. You must follow on Instagram. I think, I want to say 10 years ago, but I don't even think it's been that long.
I don't know.
Yeah, and they have bits and bobs in the UK, but if you wanted their apparel, like their clothing, you had to order it from the US and import charges. You never knew how much it was going to be. And they've just launched a UK site, so you can order it. It has the prices and it'll come from the US, but you won't have to pay import or duties. And I have this jacket. It's the best thing ever. And it's a blue workwear jacket with a Peter Pan collar, and it's got just two pockets on the front, and then on the back it says Dream Baby Dream in embroidery on the back, and it's just, I feel like David Bowie. Shall we move on to Telly Talk?
Let's move on. Can I ask, first of all, have you finally watched Call Me By Your Name?
No.
Okay, so that kept that nice and short,
and my DVD is now overdue at the library.
Oh, to add insult to injury.
Well, after this podcast recording, I will go and watch it, but I can't because my laptop doesn't have a disk drive.
So why did you get it?
Because the Xbox has a disk drive, but I want to go to bed and watch it.
Oh, Charlotte.
No, I've not watched Call Me By Your Name. Sorry. I'll get on it. I'll do it. I will get on it.
Well, you better now because we're in the red.
This is the third week I've spoken about it and not watched it.
Did you watch Bake Off this week?
Yes, but I feel like I've forgotten what happened.
Wow. This is quality listening.
What week was it? Oh, samosas. You know what, there were samosas.
But actually, do you know what? Relating to Telly Talk, I read a brilliant article on The Pool by Sally Hughes, and it was about spoilers, and I sent it to you. I don't know whether you got around to reading it.
I did do that.
You did do it, thank you. And I found it really interesting, especially because of the way we approach things on the podcast and the kind of apprehension I always seem to have before about mentioning anything. But it was a whole piece about spoiler culture and how it shouldn't be expected for people to wait for everyone to have watched or seen something before they talk about it after it's aired. And I was like, interesting. And she was like, she takes into consideration the fact people do have like evening jobs or like schedules that are different to what's on television. But I was like, she made some very interesting points.
I think I think 5 days. If you've not watched something in 5 days.
I think so. And I think that's why I think we have to mention things.
You know, like the fact Michael dies. Who's Michael? Like Michael dies at the end of series 2 of Downton Abbey.
I literally had no idea what you were talking about then. I was like, was this on Bake Off?
So Bake Off, let's go, because we didn't talk about Spice Week, but I think the less said about cardamom, the better. It was really awkward, actually. I first, when I made my friends in Margate, my best mum friend there, she just loves cardamom. And I had to, like, have a word. And I said, Camille, I hope she doesn't mind me saying, I said, I've got to tell you something. And she said, what? And I said, I really don't like cardamom. And I also really don't like rose-flavoured things or lavender-flavoured things. And they're all her favourite things. So she...
You don't like rose-flavoured things?
No. But the reason I had to tell her was because you'd go round and she'd make brownies, but she'd put cardamom in them, or she'd make a dessert and put rose in it. And I was eating it, like, really politely. But our friendship was going really well. And I was just thinking, I'm going to have to tell her. I'm going to have to tell her that, unfortunately, it's just not for my palate.
Oh, well, you did the right thing, though, Charlotte. How brave.
I know. I just felt awful, because if you're going to be really good friends with somebody and then every time you're going around there and, you know, there's something and you're thinking, ooh. And the first few times I ate it politely. So hang on, let's go back to this week's Bake Off. So there was the sweet and savoury samosas.
Yes.
And then they had to do a banquet pie.
Which was remarkable.
I don't know what to say about the fish.
I learned my biggest takeaway from this week was, if in doubt, just spray it silver. Because I feel like if Dan hadn't have sprayed it silver, he'd have had no hope. And he really recovered it well with a bit of silver spray paint. In future, that's all I'm going to do. Just spray my food silver when it's looking a bit shoddy.
Please never, ever spray paint any pastry you're going to feed to me silver. It was so funny.
Are you going to have the friend chat with me about the cardamom friend chat? Liv, you're going to have to stop spraying things silver.
I've just come round for salmon and avocado on toast, the usual, and now it's silver.
It wasn't looking as best, Charlotte, what can I say?
And then the technical challenge, I'm sorry for any French listeners, but the pot d'amour, is that how you say it?
No comment.
There was a lot of creme pat.
Yes.
Which is all, quite frankly, I want from a dessert.
Oh my, yeah, it was, I feel like anyone that, when you abbreviate it to creme pat, it makes you sound really like you know what you're talking about.
I've never made a creme pat in my life. I've eaten a lot of creme pat. It's honestly one of my favourite things, but I feel the right person went.
I do too, unfortunately. Well, toss up. Yeah.
Okay, we won't mention the person that went, but who else was in the firing line for you?
Oh, who was the other person? There was one other person, Manon.
Oh, okay, she did have a tricky week. She did. I'll give her that.
Manon, it could have gone for me.
Well, she's on thin ice for next week.
I feel like if she has a bad week next week and she gets through, then she's been lucky.
Well, yeah, I don't know, actually. I think it's getting tight now.
Oh, we're edging into... Oh, we are, aren't we? It's getting on.
Yeah, I know. I hate this bit of the bake-off where you get into it and then you're like, oh, actually, it could be over soon.
I'm not ready for it to be over. Let's not talk about that.
I'm sorry. Let's move on. Actually, do you know what I watched this week for the first time ever?
Oh, pray tell.
An Extra Slice.
Oh, I watched it last week. It was brill.
So I've never watched it, but my mum and Jack's mum absolutely love it. And I don't know what I thought it was. I thought it was a load of old nonsense. And what happens, I don't know if they do this every episode, but they bake the thing like one of their cakes again. So do you remember Terry's Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, it looked incredible.
Yeah, did you see the finished result?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Absolutely incredible. It just goes to show that the pressure in that tent is immense.
I loved watching that. Did you see the girl making the chili cake?
Oh, that sounded disgusting.
Could not do that. But I really enjoyed it. I didn't know if I'd like an extra slice. But
yeah, and that comedian is fast.
Very quick.
Very, very funny. I don't know. I mean, how many series of an extra slice have I missed?
Oh, God, don't start catching up now.
What else have I been watching? I'm sorry, I've been ill. So, honestly, I'm just going to say what I've been watching, but it's of no it's of no substance to anybody listening. I've been watching Teletubbies with June because she's not been very well.
So, I was like, oh, it can't be that bad. Oh, okay, yes, it is.
So the worst part was on Sunday when I was going through the worst of it, I could just have the Teletubbies theme tune in my head as I was laid on the bathroom floor.
Oh, God.
It was dark.
That really adds insult to injury, doesn't it?
It really does. And I'm sorry, I watched Bridget Jones's Baby again. I was feeling sorry for myself.
I watched that this week as well.
I think I might watch it once a week till Christmas now.
Oh, it is good though, isn't it?
And then the other thing that I've been watching, which I've mentioned before, is I've, because Mum's been here a lot. Mum was here, so we could crack on with our series that we were watching, which was Schitt's Creek, and it's just getting better and better. It's terrible. We don't know why we like it. It's on Netflix, and it spells S-C-H-I-T-T. Schitt's Creek is great. But honestly, nothing to contribute to Teletalk this week, I'm afraid, because I've had my head down the toilet.
Okay, that's a good enough excuse.
Have you got anything to add? What's your excuse?
Well, aside from Jeremy Kyle, I also watched, well, I watched two things. One's going to be of interest, one will not. One that I thought was glorious was the 30th anniversary of This Morning, their birthday special.
Which I would have really enjoyed that.
Oh, it was a laugh a minute.
Was that when Alison Hammond...
accidentally threw a man into
the
Albert Docks.
I was going to say the Liverpool Sea, but yeah, the Albert Docks.
Or the Liverpool Sea, Charlotte, either or. But it was... You thought you were still laughing.
No, I am, because honestly, if nobody has seen that, go on the internet and Google it, because it's honestly... I've got goose pimples just thinking about it. It made me howl.
It was very, very funny indeed. So I watched that. Love This Morning. Love Phil and Holly more than anything. And because we had a bit of time in Ibiza and we didn't really have any plans, we all very, very much got sucked into watching Killing Eve. And we finished it. We inhaled it.
Well, I feel like people are dying for us to talk about it, but I've not watched it. Do you know what? I'm probably not going to watch it. So let's just...
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've not got time to catch up on everything.
There's like 8 episodes. They're 40 minutes each. If you can watch Bridget Jones's Baby in a week, come on, Charlotte.
It's not going to happen. I'm solo parenting till the 12th.
Oh, squeeze in an episode a night.
Okay, fine. Do you want to talk about it? I don't mind if you ruin anything.
Let me talk about it a little bit. I really think you should watch it because it's so, so brilliant. I loved it. Initially, watching the first episode, I was a bit worried I wouldn't love it, and I thought it'd be a bit slow, and then I got so invested in it. And like Bodyguard, there were so many moments where you're just kind of thinking, why are you doing that? Why are you making these decisions? And I absolutely love Eve. I love Sandra Oh, who plays Eve. I think she's hilarious. I love the fact that there's lots of comedy in it, and there's some real chuckle moments. But I also love Jodie Comer, who plays Villanelle, and I think she's brilliant. And she's just... I don't know whether you can suggest that a female assassin is cool, because I wouldn't say that's the first thing, but she's just... I read an interview with Jodie, who plays her, and she said there's a lot of things in her character which she does, which make her seem quite human and quite likeable. And I think that's where you kind of fall for her a bit, because she does have... She does say and do things that you think, oh, I relate to that. And you think, oh, damn, I shouldn't be relating to you. You're the baddie. But no, I loved it. It was so, so good.
And were you pleased with the ending? I don't know what the ending is, but everybody said the ending of quite a lot of feeling towards the Bodyguard was that the ending was rushed. What about the ending of Killing Eve?
I thought the ending was brilliant. It obviously, I don't think this will spoil too much. It obviously leads on to a second series. There's obviously going to be more, which is a good thing because it was a great series, but it's also frustrating because there's still questions unanswered. So there's that double-edged sword of like, yes, there's going to be more, and damn, I'm going to have to wait. But I loved it. The wardrobe in it, Charlotte, if you do it for nothing else but the wardrobe, there's a Burberry lace pale blue dress, there's a Chloe blouse, there's a Molly Goddard tulle dress.
I want that Molly Goddard dress badly.
Oh, she's, that's the thing. I think if you watch it for nothing else, like, she's got serious style kudos.
Can I watch it on my own, though? Is it not going to make me a bit jumpy?
No, not. I don't think so. I think
remember, I'm a baby slash nana.
Again, it's like Bodyguard. It's not the kind of thing I'd be scared to watch on my own. And I'm a bit of a scaredy pants.
I can't remember what I said I was going to do after the podcast, but now I'm going to do that instead. On that note, I'm going to move on to this week's Fridge Fantasy.
I'll leave this one to you, the boss.
I'm going to say, you're going to be disappointed, but I know I've mentioned it about 400 times, but I've been ill. And the only thing that's got me through this week is rich tea biscuits.
Oh, when you're ill, a rich tea or a digestive, it's all you need.
I didn't eat anything. I just couldn't face it. And then somebody brought round some rich tea biscuits, my brother actually. And I've been munching on those all week. They've just been the best.
Oh, God. They are, that's all you need, a little bit of sweetness, but not anything too intense.
Well, it was a shame, actually, because the Sunday before I was ill, I went to the supermarket and I made a chicken pie and I made two banana breads because we had five overripe bananas. But I didn't want to eat them because I was sick. And my mum and dad, this was before they got sick, so they couldn't eat it. Because obviously, you know, if you've got something like that and you do the cooking, you've kind of infected the food. So after my mum and dad got it, they kind of rushed round and they said, oh, we can have some of that banana bread now.
Oh my God, did it get eaten then?
Yeah, we've been toasting it and putting butter on it.
Oof.
But, because I didn't know you could toast banana bread. It was only up until last year and I went to a cafe and I said, oh, can I have some banana bread? And they said, would you like it toasted? And I just looked at them.
Pardon? You're like, I beg your pardon?
But when you have it out, they normally put it in the panini press or some kind of, at home it's quite hard to get that crunch.
Oh no, do you know what? I have toasted it before. I like to toast coconut bread as well.
What? How do you toast it?
Just cut a slice and put it in the toaster.
Oh, you see, I think this banana bread was a bit weighty to go in the toaster.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you'd surprise yourself.
No, trust me, I've had it in. I had to really go in with some implements to get it back out again.
Oh God, please say you turn that.
I switched off at the wall. Don't worry.
Oh God, panic.
But yeah, have you been eating anything interesting? Oh, what? Have you had an Ibiza to eat? Did you have any crisps?
I love that would be the first thing I would have eaten when I went on holiday.
Yeah, you go to the supermarket and you get crisps.
We've eaten a lot of Pringles this week. Not even Lay's, just Pringles.
Okay, no, it's all about the Lay's. Sat in Ibiza eating Pringles watching Jeremy Kyle. Goodness gracious me.
Oh, I promise I did other things. Now, there's a couple of restaurants near where we stay, which we absolutely love going to. So we went there a few times. I love aioli or alioli, depends how you say it, when I'm on holiday. Like that garlicky mayo dip that you get with bread for a starter. Whew.
My jaw's going.
So I've mainly been, like, I had so much last night, I stank. I could literally taste it this morning. I was like, that's when you know you've gone in too hard. But I'll tell you what I did have. Actually, for dinner tonight, I had the loveliest meal at a local restaurant in Broccoli called Masala Wala. And it was absolutely delicious. It's a Pakistani cafe and they have a very small menu and it changes. And we, Joe and I had, let me get up the actual thing we had. We had this like lamb masala dish and then this beetroot curry and it was amazing. I'm not normally very adventurous with curries, but wow.
Recommend that one.
Recommend. And yeah, it was a delight.
Well, since I've not been able to enjoy food to the fullest this week, I promise I will make up for it next week.
Please do. Also, this should have gone in telly talk, but I'm very excited to see A Star Is Born.
I am desperate to see A Star Is Born. I don't know how I'm going to see it.
I don't know how I'm going to see it. I don't know what we're going to do.
Why?
I feel like I need to see it before I see you next week.
Well, that's just not possible.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh.
We don't have time.
Oh my God. What are we going to do? Also, another thing for TV talk. Why am I thinking of all these things now?
Go on.
Graham Norton's back.
That is a public service announcement. When is he back? Tomorrow?
No, he was back last week with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I should have mentioned it in Teletalk. Every Friday. So it's on tonight at 10:35 p.m.
Right, well, there's no way I'm watching Killing Eve now.
But you've got time.
No, it's because not... I'm going to be watching Graham Norton.
Oh, from last week.
From last week. I love Lady Gaga and I love Bradley Cooper. My friend saw Bradley Cooper once out and about in London at a bar and said his skin is just perfection.
I always envy people that see like real celebrities like just out and about.
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone that famous, but yeah, apparently his skin is flawless.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
The Coops. I've never called him that in my life, so I'm going to stop.
Oh, wow, you're very familiar.
So this week, Charlotte and I decided to do something a little bit different where our topic would normally be. Seeing as we get so many different questions from different listeners, we thought we'd open up the floor and take some of yours to answer on this week's episode. So we've both picked 5 questions each, and we thought we'd sit and answer them just so it's a nice little chat, but kind of led by a bit of a loose theme, if that makes sense.
There's no theme.
There's no theme, but the theme is questions.
The theme is questions. Actually, we went off and I said, pick 5 each. And we actually picked 2 the same. So there's not actually 10 questions. There's 2 less than 10. I can't add up.
Otherwise known as 8.
Right. First question. How do you find new brands? And that's from the Other Medley One. These Instagram names, by the way.
This is quite tricky. So I used to always find new brands, which sounds a bit of a funny one, on ASOS, where they have their kind of brands or like different names. Like earlier this week, I found a brand on ASOS. It's a knitwear brand and they were called, I think it was called One On. I accidentally thought it was called On One.
What a name, On One. Oh, she's On One.
That's what. But now I find myself discovering things on Instagram so much more. I love the explore page, or I fall into the depths of an Instagram hole sometimes when it comes to discovering new brands. Someone might wear something and then I'll click on that, or I might discover someone new on Instagram. I'll see what kind of brands they're mentioning. That's probably the first thing I do to discover new brands now after looking on ASOS. What about you?
Mine's Instagram. I wish I had a more creative answer.
Just
following kind of the right people that really feature, because independent brands are what I really, really love. And to be honest, most of the brands that I discover are US based, which always upsets me a bit because I kind of know that due to imports and shipping that I'm probably not going to be able to do an order or a big order anytime soon. But I think Taylor Sterling's really good on Instagram in the US. She's always kind of recommending small brands. She's the founder of The Glitter Guide. In the UK, obviously yourself. Brittany Bathgate's really good. I know we mentioned Brittany a lot on here, but she's really good for finding smaller UK or European brands. Who else do I really like to follow on Instagram?
Hannah Stephenson is brilliant. She features more kind of Scandinavian brands.
Yes, she's ever so good.
She's really good, great with colour, just great at cool shapes, things a little bit different. Who else?
I think Studio B Fashion as well.
Yes, Studio B are Brilliant. Yeah, she's so really cool.
They have a website, but they're also on Instagram. And she's got a really good eye for new brands. Really, really like her.
Really, really good.
So in short, we discover them on Instagram.
So Lauren Lee Webb asks, have either of you ever suffered mental health issues?
I definitely have. I wouldn't say that mine are officially diagnosed. I definitely suffered a bout of depression, I would say, in my early 20s. And that was more connected to a breakup. And I didn't know until I was out of it just how down and depressed and kind of self-destructive I was. And this was probably before the days of social media as well, or smartphones. But I do remember that as being a particularly kind of dark time. But I would go out and drink a lot and party a lot. So I kind of masked it a lot with that. And as I said, it was definitely connected to a breakup. And then as I've got older, it's generally under the umbrella of anxiety, career related, friendship related, just a lot of self-doubt, a lot of self-loathing, I think, a lot of, I'm trying to think, because I feel like I'm in a better place mentally now than I've been my entire life. I definitely get periods of higher anxiety. Again, talking about alcohol, I think I have a quite a normal relationship with alcohol. I have a drink a couple of times a week, not every week. But somebody said basically alcohol is like adding petrol to anxiety, and it really is. So after a night out, that really, really does kind of flare up my anxiety. But in general, I can relate mine to my hormone cycles now. So yes. For example, the week before my period, my anxiety, my self-doubt, my kind of self-worth is quite bad. But I can kind of notice patterns now. Whereas before, in my 20s, I used to be up and down like a yo-yo. I really did. Whereas now I can kind of see patterns, and most of the time it's related to my period cycle. So I can give myself breaks, and it's quite easy for me to sit here and say, you know, my mental health and everything is, I'm doing much better because I'm in a good place right now. You know, my career's going quite well. I'm happy with that. You know, everything at home's okay. And generally when everything's okay, for me, it's quite easy for me to be in a better place mentally. And I know that's not the case for everybody, but I do have a business coach who I pay for, and she actually kind of acts unofficially as a therapist, I would say. I speak to her every fortnight, every 2 weeks, and she really helps with any kind of feelings that I've got, in all capacities, really. So she really helps. So I essentially talk it through with her for an hour every 2 weeks, and she's a really, really great help. What about you, Liv?
No, I totally, totally agree with you and so many of the things you said. I feel like I've definitely, definitely agree with you in terms of I've always had a history of feeling quite anxious and suffering with like nerves, and particularly I used to get quite panicky. And there's lots of periods in your life where I think hindsight is a really interesting thing with mental health, because I look back and when I was at school especially, I used to get really panicky in like exams, or if I was in an assembly and I was in the middle seated, that used to really panic me because I couldn't get out. I felt really trapped in things. And I think because no one really spoke about what those feelings were, I never really knew. I know I kind of always thought that I was a bit like, oh, why do I feel like this? Why do I feel really anxious? And I felt like it a lot when I was in sick form, and I used to get very, very anxious before going to class because one of my teachers would pick on me a lot and want me to speak. And I think I always kind of worried about that. And my mum, I know, used to feel quite a lot like that. So I feel like that's helped me understand those feelings a lot more. And like you say, especially now, I can pinpoint a lot of certain moods in relation to my hormone cycle and my period especially. I mean, even this week when I was away, there was a couple of days where I felt really like a bit, I felt quite down and I felt rubbish about myself and I felt really low about things. And I know that that comes with my period, but there has been times, especially like late teens, where I felt really low and I didn't really know what it was. And I think that is sometimes the hardest thing, when you just can't pinpoint it to a certain like trigger or period or anything, and you just think, I don't know why I feel like this. So some, I think feeling sometimes in control of those emotions, whether they're good or bad, is quite a relief, even if, you know, even like I know that I'm going to feel a bit rubbish at a certain time of a month, but at least I feel reassured that I kind of know why I'm feeling like it.
Definitely. I think what you said there, hindsight is a wonderful thing, because now I know how to deal with myself when I feel like that, and necessarily some of the triggers I would avoid. So for example, probably wouldn't go on a wild night out, because I know, I mean, I'm not going to go on a wild night out anyway.
I mean, don't go looking at cozzies at 12:30 before your period.
But you know, I just know that maybe some exercise might help. I know that eating well might help, or I know that I say eating well, eating vegetables, or I might know that actually what I need is a big slice of cake, or what I need is to switch off from social media, or what I need to do is watch Bridget Jones's Baby for the 400th time. And I feel like I'm much better equipped to deal with that anxiety. And I also think that knowing myself more, so the thing that used to happen to me all the time when I was younger is I would erupt in these kind of hysterical, I call them hysterical because I could never stop crying. I just couldn't, everything would build on top of me, it'd be overwhelming, and I used to just like break down so that my mum and dad or Jack, whereas now I know that that was almost a side effect of my personality, which is I'm a bit of a perfectionist, whereas now I know that perfectionism is bullshit and it's okay to fail, it's okay to, you know, not meet deadlines. Not if one of my clients is listening, but you know, it's, you know, we are all only human. Whereas when I was younger, yeah, I didn't understand that as humans we all suffer with this kind of thing. So I just thought that everybody else was doing brilliantly, and actually it was I was alone with these feelings.
I think that's it. I think the more you talk about it and the more you realize that you're not like an anomaly in feeling like it. I remember when I was with my first boyfriend, and bearing in mind I was about just before I was 15, so I was very young, and I remember being really tearful all the time with him. And it was when I just first started like really getting quite hormonal, and I remember, I think he said to my mum, he was like, oh, Liv keeps crying and I don't know what to do. I mean, poor guy. But I feel like at the time you just feel like you're this total anomaly that's just really tearful and almost like a bit broken, and you're just like, I don't know why I keep getting upset. And actually, you know, now I can have loads of conversations with all my best friends about feeling like it, or they can cry to me, or I can confide in them, and you think, oh, it's totally normal. Whereas I think when you're a lot younger, no one really talks about it, and you just think you're this, I don't know, like, I suppose when you're growing up, so when you're tearful and you're hormonal, and even if it's not hormones, even if you're depressed or you're anxious or anything, there's that kind of thing where you feel like, oh, I'm hard work, or I'm difficult for feeling like it. And it's like, no, that's like totally the opposite.
Yeah, you're not a burden. You
like
know.
Absolutely not. And I think as I get older, I realize more that actually being open about those things is the best thing you can do. It's the most helpful thing you can do for yourself and for other people, because all people want to understand is what's going on in your head so they can help you, and that it's not a pain for anybody. But I think it is hindsight, and it's growing up, and it's recognizing those things and knowing that everyone goes through them at some point. Like, it's the most normal thing.
Definitely. My phone has died, so I can't read the rest of the questions that we picked.
Becky _boo 83 asks, if you could both have 5 guests over for dinner, dead or alive, who would you pick and why? I thought this was a really funny question, because I feel like I know who some of yours would be,
and I feel like mine are probably quite similar, and I know who of mine I'd swap out for you. Who you swap out, if that makes sense.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's see if we can guess each other. So I think you're going to invite Florence Welch.
She's top of my list.
Okay, fine.
done. Ding.
Ding.
1 point to me. Okay. Oh, Saoirse Ronan.
No. No, she's not on my list.
Oh, is she not invited? Shame. Sorry. Sorry about that. Oh, okay. Fine. Guess one of mine.
Stevie Nicks.
No, no. Stevie's not coming.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if she'd be hard work.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like I love her too much to meet her.
Freddie Mercury?
Oh, no, you see, mine's... No, I'm trying to think who's going to have a good time.
Oh, they both have a good time.
Yeah, but this is more a party. I just don't know if... I don't know if Freddie and Stevie are going to be sat down tucking into a pasta bake.
Okay.
Shall I put you out your misery?
Put me out my misery.
Well, actually, do you know what? Freddie can come. I hadn't actually thought about Freddie.
Okay.
Freddie can come, but he's not on the top five. So on the top five, Adele. She has got... She's guest of honour.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Oh.
Oprah's coming. Jane Fonda.
Oh.
And then I'm a bit confused, you see, because I think Adele, Oprah and Jane Fonda, we're all going to get on swimmingly. A lot of, like, cackling, a lot of, like, you know, cocking my head back in, you know, pure hilarity. And then I'd really like to invite Colin Firth, but I think...
I've got Colin Firth at mine. He's right at the end of my list.
Well, I don't want to get into it, but do I want Colin Firth to come round for dinner or, you know, a more romantic dinner?
And if you've got, like, loads of girls having a giggle, is Colin going to just, you know...
Are the girls going to be able to be themselves around Colin?
It's what I ask myself every day.
Elton's coming.
Oh, brilliant show.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got Adele and you've got Elton. So, you know, about pudding, before the coffee comes out or the tea, they can crack on at the piano.
Tinkle on the ivories.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I'm not sure whether to invite Meryl Streep or Diane Keaton.
See, Meryl Streep I was going to invite to mine.
Well, I'll just come to yours and then Diane Keaton can come to mine.
Brilliant.
Okay, who else have you got on your list?
I feel like my dynamic's all a bit wrong now.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Stevie would be great and Freddie, but they'd be who I'd invite to a party, not a dinner party.
Yeah, see, I've got Alex Turner, but I feel like he could be quite somber. Do you know what I mean? I think he could be a bit deep and poetic.
Do not put me next to to Alex Turner. Miles Kane, on the other hand, can come round.
Miles Kane would be a giggle, wouldn't he, at a dinner party? I think he'd be like, he'd have a cackle.
I tell you what, I think if you invited Miles Kane amongst this lot, we'd have a hoot.
I think so too. See, now I feel like my list is just a bit, I've not thought about it properly.
Go on, who else?
Well, I've got either Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger or David Bowie, but I can't have all three of them.
So. Well, I think the only person you're going to get sensible conversation out there is David Bowie, to be honest, because I feel like Paul McCartney has got a tendency to go a bit weird. And really? Mick Jagger, I just think, would just be trying to impress all the ladies.
Yeah, I think, yeah, no, you're right. I think him and Florence would get along maybe too well and they would be able to get a word in edgeways. And I'd be like, my dinner party, everybody. Get a bit cross.
Yeah, well, you're stuck with Alex Turner going, yeah, great. Great, Alex, great.
I hate this, don't you? And then I've got Princess Diana.
Well, yeah, I think Lady Di's going to have a good time. She's going to, like, I think...
But do you see what I mean? I think I've just... There's just a bit of a jumble. I put Audrey Hepburn down, but then I just think it's... Yeah, it's a bit...
Yeah, then she's got a deer running loose in the kitchen. Time to go home, Audrey. Take Bambi with you.
I think it's just I need a better diet. I think there's two dinner parties in there, or three even. I don't think there's just one.
I love how we're taking this so seriously.
Well, it was going to happen, wasn't it? We can't rush these things. When that question came up, I was a bit concerned. It was a bit of a deep one.
Well, we both went off to write our lists and reconvene.
I love that we saw the mental health question and thought, no, that's not too deep. Saw the dinner party one and thought, oh, I have to come back to that.
I can't answer you immediately on that one. The other question that involves some research was your top five TV or film shows of 2018. Film shows.
All right, Nan.
Of 2018. We really had to go and research that one, didn't we?
Oh, I did enough struggle on that.
Well, for starters, Liv forgot about Mamma Mia 2.
Surprise, surprise. Oh, God.
Is that your number one?
Well, yeah, it's now that I've remembered. And Call Me By Your Name.
Well, I mean, we can't discuss that. What else is on there?
Bodyguard. Everything in the last 2 weeks I can remember.
Okay, mine is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but I think that came out in 2017.
Okay.
Glow, series 2.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that, but yeah, like Glow 1.
Queer Eye.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now we're talking.
And then Book Club, which basically is my dinner party.
I haven't seen Book Club yet.
You've been watching Killing Eve while I've been watching Book Club. I mean, it all pans out eventually.
I am desperate to watch Book Club.
And then Mamma Mia 2. So it's a really obvious list from me. What else have you got on yours?
So many that I just can't name them.
Okay, we'll come back to that question.
I'd like to see A Wrinkle in Time.
I also think that the Queen film Bohemian Rhapsody is coming out this year, apparently.
Maybe we'll do an end of year review, like the Big Fat Quiz of the Year. We'll do like an end of year fringe of it review
where we can't remember anything.
We have to really like scratch our heads.
Yeah, it will be terrible. Apologies.
It'll be like, what came out in January? I mean, to be honest, the podcast hadn't launched in January, so I wasn't inclined to remember anything before February.
What other questions have we got? My phone's still not come back on yet.
So the Roaming Caravan Co. asks, how are you both coping with wedding planning / the demand to make it Insta perfect?
Okay, I could probably answer this one straight away because we were originally going to elope just because we've been engaged for 4 years. We've been together for nearly 10. And then, you know, we have decided to go for the big day. But I couldn't believe how easy it was to get swept up in it. And actually this week I've had to have a little word with myself because I can't say specifically the bits because I'm still trying to keep it all a secret, but I wanted this and I wanted that and I wanted this. And I actually had to sit down and have a word with a little think with myself and go, you know, do you actually need that? And why is it that you want it? Is it because you want to make a visual feast? Not just for Instagram, but, you know, because I love that kind of thing. And, you know, do you actually need all those extras that you're thinking about? I don't know. Have you felt the same?
Yeah, completely. I think when you go to lots of events and you're surrounded by it, I think you can get swept up in thinking you're planning like a brand event. Yes. or you've got this brand budget and you're like, actually, what is important? And I think you have to, when you're planning, you have to kind of prioritize like people, like the things that are really important, like people, food, the venue. And I think it's almost like a few things will overlap and a few things won't. Like you can never often have everything. And so if you're going to have a venue in a different country, you probably won't have all the people there you want, or you probably won't have the caterers. So it's kind of working out what's important, but it's so easy to get swept up. And even talking to Joe, who's shot a lot of weddings, he said it's amazing how many people were like, send him a mood board of photographs from Pinterest that have been from editorials. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of thing we have in mind. And Joe will be like, okay, but, you know, this was an editorial for a magazine that had, you know, however many people working on it and this much budget. And so I think people can get really into the idea of doing something really elaborate and amazing, which obviously is brilliant. But I think it's very, very easy to kind of get swept up in the whole aesthetics, and actually forget why you're doing it and what's important, what people will care about.
Absolutely. I think it's just trying to think about what are you going to remember in a year's time? What are you going to remember in 5 years' time? In 10 years' time? You know, are you going to remember some of the details that I want? And I'm thinking that it's just not, especially when you see the price of it, you're like, actually,
I know,
I don't need the eye sculpture of my face.
But that's the thing, like, even, I mean, not that, but we've the eye sculpture of our faces, but the caterers were showing us like different cutlery and stuff, and they're like, he just sent us over some pictures and he was like, well, what ones do you like? And I picked out a set and he was like, oh, that's the most expensive. And I was like, well, I didn't know that. There was no cost on it. Obviously, I've just got very expensive toast. But then you think, are people actually going to remember the cutlery? at the end of the day.
I said, because I kind of know what cutlery and stuff I want, I said, maybe I'll just get myself the nice cutlery that I want, and then I've got it, and then I'm sure nobody else cares. They can just have the normal cutlery.
Yep, just princess wants the princess cutlery, please.
Can you imagine if I did that? I wouldn't. But yeah,
I think like the Beckhams both have a throne.
I'm tempted. They've still got those thrones, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, she brought them to that Vogue shoot that she did.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
Hilarious. So yes, I think with weddings, you have to keep going back to your budget. You have to keep going back to why you're getting married. You know, it's not a big spectacle, you know, you're not Kate and Wills. So just calm yourself down.
Yep. Sit yourself down and have a word.
Can you remember any other questions? Because my phone still won't switch on.
The Art of Being Holly asks, what are your favourite things to do when you've got a day to yourself?
Do you want to ask this? I feel like you might have, sorry, this sounds really patronising, a few more days to yourself.
Well, to be honest, I feel like weekends I like to keep really precious if I can. And if I've got a day to myself, I like to just try and see family and friends, which sounds really boring and predictable. I like to take Maggie out for a walk, put some music in, just go out with my like cup of tea in the morning, take her out, enjoy that. I mean, this is like my idea in my head where I'm like not too tired to keep snoozing, that I'm like, I'll go out, take the dog for a walk. I like to just potter around the shops, have no real commitments, get back in the afternoon, watch a film, have a nice takeaway. Like just the small things, I think, are the things I look forward to the most.
Oh, sounds really goodness. Boring. I'm sorry, but that's what I like to do as well. So boring, isn't it?
I just really like to just potter and just like just being leisurely is really like a real luxury, I think.
Oh my goodness. June went to nursery for the first time in a week, and the excitement that washed over me today after I dropped her off, because she was more than happy to be there, and I got home and my house was just silent. And I actually went to Tesco on the way home, got a chocolate croissant. I mean, it's not a croissant, it's like 55p for this. There's way more chocolate than there is pastry. And I made a cup of tea and sat and ate that pastry with a candle lit. And it was heaven. It was heaven. I also love having a day to myself in London. I'm just actually quite far down on my Instagram grid because I'm doing a bit of research for Christmas. And I remember last year I just walked around London. I had a whole day to myself and just went to like my favourite bakeries. And I mentioned it earlier on that I did it a couple of weeks ago. Went to my favourite bakeries, my favourite shops. Just got inspiration just from walking around. I just love walking around London on my own. It's one of my favourite things to do.
Oh, it is. When do you know what, the other last weekend Joe and I went up to Columbia Road on Sunday and we had no time constraints, and it was being able to walk around the shops if we wanted to, get a bus home, like all the things that we think we're always like rushing, and to not rush, I think, is one of my favorite things to do with a day to myself.
Definitely one of the biggest things I miss about London is Columbia Road.
Oh, so gorgeous.
But we went a bit late. It was a bit busy.
It was very busy. I think just going before 9.
You've got to get there before 9, straight to Lily Vanilli.
Straight there. We got a sausage roll. It's forever known as sausage roll day now.
nothing that exciting, I'm afraid, people. But I'm to be honest, are people surprised?
Nope.
Let's do one more question. I've got one here, and mine is from Dion Design, and she asks, how do your partners feel about what you do? I thought this was quite an interesting question, actually.
Would you like to go first?
No, you go first. I'll hand it over to you.
Oh, hand me the mic. I think Joe's pretty cool with what I do.
But has he always been pretty cool?
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting right next to me.
Awkward.
I mean, we've been going out for 9 years now, and I've been blogging for 8 of those. So he knew me pre-blog, during blog. So I think it's just the norm. It's just the norm. There's like, I don't know. I don't think. What do you think about what I do, Joe? Yeah, it's good, he says.
Jack's always been really supportive, even in those dark days where I've wanted to give up, where I've wanted to go and get another job, a more stable job, a less unpredictable job. And he's always been the person that's like, you can't give up, you've got to keep going. So generally very supportive.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, but I just thought that was just a nice question. It's nice to credit them both because, you know, we talk about them a lot on here.
I know, we really do. Poor thing.
Jack's that talking about me on the podcast again, are you?
Oh, does he listen?
Well, he's a bit behind this week. Rude.
Well, Bunny, you're telling me. I'm like, Josie, you're listening to another podcast that isn't mine.
Should we start talking about 90s football? Do you think they'd both listen a lot more?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, Joe, guess what? We've got a special guest next week. It's
Eric Cantona.
It's Eric Cantona. Joe's face just went. That's the first footballer I thought of, Joe. So I think that is it. I feel like we've not answered as many questions as we'd anticipated. We've definitely waffled on for long enough this evening. So I think we'll spare you any more pointless chatter for this week. But thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.
Next week we will have a guest and then we might have to take a week off. Both Liv and I are on holiday and we have both hectic schedules and we've tried really hard to see if we can record as many podcasts as we can so there isn't a gap whilst we're away, but we're just warning you now, it might happen. We're still trying to figure it out, but mid-October we might have to take a 1 week break. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the Facebook group. If you'd like to go and join, it's facebook.com/groups/thefringeofit. And if you'd like to review, rate and subscribe, it helps other people find us. We will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Have a great week. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.